Alright, we'll start on top of Ayin Tet Amud Aleph. Right, the mission on the top of Ayin Tet. Haita Umedet Arosh HaGag. She was standing on top of a roof. Vizarkula, and he throws her the get. Kevin Shigia LaVir HaGag. Once it reaches the airspace of the Gag, her Zumigreshet. She is divorced. Hidamala, she's above. I mean, Hudamala, he's above. The Hidamata, Milamata, she's below. I mean, it sounds like he's on the Gag, and she's in the Chatzir below. Vizarkula, and he throws it to her. Kevin Shigia Tzamir Shutagag. As soon as it leaves the confines of the roof, Nipach or Nisrap, if it was erased, somehow it rained on it, Nisrap was burnt, it was already a get, and since it's already a get, effectively before any of this other stuff happened, she is divorced. So Gemara's gonna ask to explain this Mishnah. The first question you have to ask, we know that the qualification for a get to be a valid get, it has to go into a chatzer ha-mishtamer l'data. It has to go into a property or her area that is mishtamerit, that is guarded. So how could it be that when it goes, he throws it up to the gag, that automatically it's a good get? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, b'gag sheyesh lo maka. Right, so it's a gag that has a fence around it. So that already makes it mishtamerit. I mean, as opposed to before, they thought the gag was just a flat gag with anything around it. Now you have a maka around it, so once it reaches into the airspace of the fencing, then it's a get a mishtamerit, or a makoma mishtamerit, and it would be a valid get. Ula bar menashe mishmeidavi meyomar hacha b'pachot mishnosha some of the gagaskinan. Tell you about that the get reached within 3 tefachim of the ground. And within 3 tefachim of the ground, b'chol pachot mishnosha some of the gagaskinan. It's as if it landed physically on the gag. So the original habamit of the Gemara was that as soon as it was above the gag somewhere, in the airspace of the gag, that was a valid get. The problem with that is that some wind could come along, blow the get away. And how can that be considered a chatzer mishtemeret? So two answers to that problem. One answer to the problem is that either it has the get had the gag has a wall around it, has a fencing around it, by definition. So therefore, once it enters the airspace of the gag, it's within those confines of the fences, and that's considered mishtemeret. Or the other possibility is that it never landed, but it came within 3 tefachim of the ground, of the gag. Within 3 tefachim of the gag is already considered to be on the gag itself. On the gag itself is for sure mishtemeret, versus if it's still floating in the air. So now the Gemara has to do the other situation. Hulamala, he's above, and she's below. Then, again, it becomes an effective get as soon as it enters the airspace of the chatzer. The havamintar, again, it's not a chatzer mishtemer. Some of you that smoke, go and say, you mechitzot ha-tachtonot, odfot al-elyonot. The walls of the chatzer exceeded the walls of the gag. So somehow, once it leaves, if you have, say, for instance, just for argument's sake, you have a gag that has a maka around it, it has a fence around it. Then the other side, you have a chatzer with a wall around it. The top of the wall of the chatzer and the top of the makah, the gag, are equal. Let's say, for instance, they're equal. And then there's a little cutout. There's a doorway that goes from the gag into the area of the chatzer. So he throws the get over that part of the makah into the chatzer. And as soon as it leaves the airspace of the gag, it's in her airspace of the chatzer. So it's in the walls, the confines of the chatzer. So the Chena Mar Abelazar Mar Oshia, Kavon Shayu Mechitzot HaTachtanot, Otfot Al Yonot, Chena Mar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan Kayum, Kavon Shayu Mechitzot HaTachtanot, Otfot Al Yonot. Again, that the chatzers of walls are somehow exceed the walls of the gag, and therefore as soon as it leaves the airspace of the gag, it's into the airspace of the chatzer. Well, Mr. Merritt is not that, I would say, those are unusual circumstances that are coming up, right? Right. Right. We have that generally when something is Ruach Mitzuya versus Ruach Shena Mitzuya. This is, you know, I mean, it's in a normal sense it's guarded, then if something happens, then that's out of the ordinary or extraordinary, then we don't say that that was a Mr. Merritt. So I'm Rabbi Abba Ulo, come on, who is this Mishnah like? So he says, Karabi. That's like Rabbi. So actually two people have this opinion in the Gemara and Shabbos. There's Rabbi. There's also Rabbi Akiva. There's a Mishnah in the Gemara and Shabbos also. That there's a machlokas between the Rabbonon, Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva, that when an object is in motion, right, how do you view that? It's a physics question, right? How do you view an object in motion? Do you consider it to be a continuous motion, and therefore there's never, wherever, the only two points where the object goes. One is where it leaves from and where it lands. That's the only thing that's relevant. Or do you look like, do you view it as distinct, right, discrete movements? So that means that every moment the object is leaving, landing, leaving, landing, leaving, landing. So that's what's the nafkamina. So nafkamina, for instance, is like Rabbi Akiva says, when you have a reshussi yachid on one side, a reshussi yachid on the other side, and you're throwing it through a reshussi rabbim in the middle. So according to the Chachamim, you've left the reshussi yachid, landed a reshussi yachid, that's nisud rabbonon, but not nisud oraisa. According to Rabbi Akiva, if it goes through the reshussi rabbim, each point is a discrete movement. So that means it left the reshussi yachid, landed in the reshussi rabbim, and then left the reshussi rabbim and landed in the reshussi yachid. So you'll be kind of a chatos. That's the thing of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi's talking about when you throw it through a house that has a roof on it. But in each of these instances, how you view an object in motion will determine. So it's over here. We have an object in motion, right? And the object's in motion, when does it consider to have entered into the chatzer? As it considered to enter in the chatzer, there's only two discrete points, which is one, it leaves the gat. Number two is it reaches the chatzer. And therefore, it should only be in the chatzer when it lands in the chatzer. Or do you see that each point is discrete along the way? And therefore, as soon as it enters the airspace of the chatzer, it's considered to be in the chatzer already. So that's what Rabbi Abba is suggesting over here. It said to Ula, who is our mission like? It's like Rabbi, who says that each motion is a discrete point. Then Ula answered back to him, Amaleya filu tamer rabbanon. In this instance, even the rabbanon could agree. Why? I can't look like rabbanon. I laid the rabbi yellow the Indian Shabbos. That's in the din in Shabbos. Whether you view the klutz of mishul kavunska, tell me, when something's in motion, do you view it as a single motion? That's the chum say. Versus Rabbi, who says it's discrete motion, discrete points. That's a din in Shabbos. About hachom mishum turehu. Here, the issue is not where it left from and where it gets to. I mean, it's not the akira and the anocha that are important, but rather who is exerting, as we say before, control or can watch the get. And with that, v'hakam intar, once it enters the confines of the chatzer, once it enters the walled area of the chatzer, then it's considered to be, right, mintar, soon to be guarded, mishtameret, within the confines of the chatzer. So you're looking for a different din. Meaning that whether you hold the klutz of mishalom kadami or not may be irrelevant to our situation over here. Because our situation is not about a kira and anocha. It's not about leaving and landing. It's about where is it guarded and where is it, whose confines is it within. That might be, even according to one who says it's a continuous motion, like the Chachamim might agree that once it enters the airspace of the chatzer, that's enough to consider it to be mintar, guarded, and it'll be a valid get. Again, the same explanation of our Mishnah. I'm the Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Asi, and I have other parties that are making the same statement. Come on, who's our Mishnah like? Karabi. Again, that something in motion is considered to be and have discrete movements. Even the Rabbanan could agree in this case. But here, get is different. It's a different requirement. It doesn't have the same requirements as Shabbos. Shabbos is about malacha. And you want, what's the definition of malacha? That's a kira and anocha. Over here, the issue is not a kira and anocha, but simply mishta merit. Where is it considered guarded? And that's sufficient once it reaches into the airspace of the chatzer. Right now, Nibchak. Mishnah says if it gets erased. Amar of Nachman, Amar Barbarabua, Lo Shon Ruelish and Nimchak Derech Yerida. That's only if it got erased when it's on its way down. About Nimchak Derech Aliyah, if it got erased on its way up, Lo. So my daima, Mikara Lo the Mitchak, Minachkari. Right, so that, it's a little bit like, so what you're asking is that, well, if it gets erased, right, meaning that shows that it's not Mishtamer. But that depends on where was the motion of the get at that time. If the get is still in the upward trajectory, then it's clear that it's still in the giving part, very good, it's still in the nothing the other part of it, hasn't reached into her possession yet. I mean, if it gets destroyed at that point, the ultimate right trajectory of the get is not clear. It doesn't go into her property. Whereas if it's there for you to be done, it's already on the downward motion, the downward trajectory, then we say it's coming into her possession. And if it's within the chitzot of the chatzer, it's already a good get. And if it gets erased at that point, it's irrelevant because she's already accepted the get. Right, Nisrach. It's the same thing. That's only if it became an effective get before it's burnt up. Madaleka the get. I'm sorry, it's only if the get was in motion before the fire was there. If the chutzar had a fire in it, this is again show what you're asking. If the chutzar already had a fire and the get comes over the wall and then it's going to land there, she's not divorced, because what's the ultimate trajectory of the get? It's going to land in the fire. So there you can't say minach knife, it's that it's going to land and then up in the chutzar it's mintar, because you know that the ultimate right end game for this get is going to be burnt up. So only if the get was in motion prior to the fire. That the fire was already there before they got to get there. Look, my time up. We grow the sreifa gazil because the original right end game for this get would have been to be burnt up. So if that's the case, you can't argue that above it was a good get, and then when it lands, it's going to be burnt up. That's not a valid argument.
See, it's the nimtad case.
It's raining. Rashi says raining.
Okay, so if it's raining, it's the same case. It's raining. You know that the ink is not as strong as the yellow.
But it's not guaranteed. I think in the fire, it's for certain that it's going to be burnt up. You know, in the erased case, it was the case, either you can say that rain is not true, or that it started raining after you threw the get. I mean, that's the other possibility. Or right, that's what the Gemara says. It has to be the fire has to start it after the get. That's the distinction the Gemara is drawing right now. I know the Matthias, I mean, less. I think the Gemara is giving examples of trying to show where the halacha changes the point, the point of the halacha. Of Derech Aliyah, Derech Yerida, I don't think the Matthias somehow it gets erased or burnt is necessarily as important to the Gemara as, right, that we want to show where the halacha points are, that the exchange of ownership. And our Fister, Rishiyot, Chalukot, Bikitin. That Rishiyot, different areas, different halachic areas, are considered distinct for Gitin. So what does this have a Nachamina for? Some of them be B'cham L'Rabba, Minale the Saba, ha! Where does the, you know, the older one, the Saba, you know, grandfather have this from? Lay Masnissen, it's our Mishnah. Haita Omedet Arosh Hagag, right, if he's standing on the top of a roof, Bizar Kula, and then he throws it to her. Kevin Shagiyaget Avir Hagag, as soon as the get reaches her on the gag, then she is divorced. But Maya Skinan, what's the case here? Ilema Bagag Dido. If we say what, that it is her gag, meaning that it belongs to her, but Chatzir Dida, and it's also her courtyard, Lama Liyavir Hagag. Why do I need to throw it into the gag? I mean, as soon as he puts it in the Chatzir, she is divorced. Why do I have to get it up to the gag? Hello, the gag today, but Chatzir Dida. If that's the case, then what are you going to say? The roof belongs to him, and the Chatzir belongs to him? Kigia Lavir Hagag might have it, right? Once it reaches the gag, what is he relevant? It's his gag, so reaching into the airspace of the gag is not relevant. Hello, Pshita, must be that the situation is Begag Dida, it's her roof, but Chatzer Diday, and it's his Chatzer. So now Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah?
Yeah, who?
Right, so you have to ask, either or he lent her, there are other solutions that we had before, he lent her the gag, which the Gemara's going to get to in a second, or the fact that she got a matano, the husband somehow relinquished ownership and the woman has independent ownership. We know that she can have independent ownership of certain items as long as they were independent prior to this moment, right? So what are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah? He's above and she's below. As soon as it leaves the airspace of the gag, right, if it gets erased or burnt, then she is migreshet. If we're talking about her gag with chatzer today, right, and it's his chatzer, am I migreshet? Right, if that's the same way we explained above, right, then why is she divorced? Ela gag today must be his roof with chatzer today. And it's her chatzer. So Reisha, now the Gemara is going to say, well, now you have an inconsistency in the Mishnah. Reisha begat dida, the chatzer diday. Right, the first case in the Mishnah is going to be that it's her gag and his chatzer. Seifa, the second half of the Mishnah is going to be begat diday, it's going to be his roof, the chatzer dida. Right, so it's like an inconsistency here in the Mishnah, right, although the Gemara will possibly in the end say no, but at least right now, it seems to be that the cases are switching possession in the Mishnah. So what's the answer? So to show what you're asking, the Ushlam Makom, he lent her the space. Person lends one space, but they don't lend two spaces. This is a principle that we saw again earlier, two doppelgangers. That when a husband lends a space to his wife in order to create possession or ownership, he only lends her one distinct rishus, not multiple rishuyot. And therefore, either only the god belongs to her or only the chatzer belongs to her. It's only one of those two. You can't have both. So Amalei meet the area, right? Why does it have to be that way? Dilma hakadita, hakadita, right? Why do you have to say that? Say that each case, right, is distinct, which is reisha begad bidah b'chatzer bidah. The first case is a case where it's her god and his chatzer. Sefe begad bidah b'chatzer bidah. In that the Mishnah is not necessarily inconsistent when it sets up the ownership differently in each of the cases, because it depends where he's standing, it depends where she's standing. So each case references the ownership based on where he's standing and where she's standing. Not that there's an inconsistency in the Mishnah, it just has to do with where they are positioned in the Mishnah. So Amar Rava, Shlosh Midot v'Gitin. It's interesting. Rava says there are three principles in Gitin, which are Halachot in Gitin, that are distinct from the Halachos throughout any other Halachos in Shas. Meaning that there is Halachot in Shas, and Gitin are different than that. So Hadama Rebbe includes the Kamishon Chodame, right? One of the principles we saw before. That Rebbe says that when you throw something in motion, it's as if it's in moving through discrete points. Upligi Rabban Ben Ale, and the Rabban argue with him and say that it's continuous motion. Hani Mili Din in Shabbos. That's only a din in Shabbos. Of a Hachla Mishum Din Torehu. Here it has to do with if it's considered Mishnah Merit. Bahamintar, it's considered Mishnah Merit. It doesn't have to land to be considered Mishnah Merit. So therefore, the din of Gitin is different than the din anywhere else. Or in Shabbos. Now another din. Amar Rav Chisda, Noach Kana Rishut HaYachid. Another din in Shabbos. Person who puts a pole in a Rishut HaYachid, Ubrosho Traskal, and on its top is a basket, Vizarak, and he throws the Nachal Gavav and lands in that basket. Afil Gvai Me'ama, even if it's 100 amos high, Chayav. He's Chayav, Lefi Rishut HaYachid, Oleh Adarakia. Because there's a din in Rishut HaYachid, it's a din in the Rishut of Shabbos. Right, for instance, Rishut HaRabim in Shabbos only goes up to 10th Makim. Above 10th Makim and Rishut HaRabim is considered a Makom Tur. That is not true of Rishut HaYachid. Rishut HaYachid is defined Ad L'Rekia. If that's the case, no matter how high you're going to throw it on Shabbos, if there's a Makom that you can land in, a Makom Hanukkah that you can land in, that will be considered as if it landed in the Rishut HaYachid, and it will be Chayav on Shabbos. So Hani Milian in Shabbos, that's only with Shabbos. Have a Hachom Mishum Turehu V'Havo Mintar. So the opposite din here. Here, it's all about it being Mishnah Merit. If it's 100 amos up in the sky, that's not an area that's Mishnah Merit. I mean, that's not within the confines of the chatzah that she can watch. It's all the way up, and that's not Mintar. So you have the opposite din here, where Begabi Shabbos is considered a Rishut, Begabi Ged, it's not considered a Rishut. And then the final halacha is V'had Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Yamod Adam Begag Zeh, V'Klot Megishami Megago Shel Chavero. A person may not stand on one roof and collect rainwater from the gag of his friend. So in their day, look at your Gemara, in their day they had flat roofs, right? That's what Gemara has in many cases, the flat roofs. If you look at your Gemara, say for instance you have two houses that are semi-detached. Like today, a Dumishpachti house. Right? They have all the entire neighborhood is Dumishpachti. And then you have a roof on top. Now the roof on top is not necessarily distinct because there's no wall between each house. The roof was one large area, it's a shared space between them. But down the middle is a line like this, which is the wall that separates between the two houses. So the roofs are distinct, or there's something that shows you where the line that breaks the houses up is. Right? So you have two roofs that look like one big open space, but below there are two different houses. So did they say, look, we look at the two houses, if you look above, we look at them as to be, what? Two distinct Rishuyot HaYachid. They're two different parts of the Rishuyot HaYachid. When there's two different parts of the Rishuyot HaYachid, either Abonon, you're not allowed to carry from one house to another house unless you have an Eruv. So the same thing by a Gag. You won't be able to take from one Gag to the other Gag unless there's an Eruv joining them. So that's the case here. You're not allowed to carry Megishamim from one Gag until, right, the other Gag. So now, what's the Gemara says over here? Hani Milelein in Shabbos. Right? I'm sorry, did I skip that? I'm sorry, let's go back. Kashim Shidurim Chalukim Elamata. Just like the houses are distinct below, Kach Dirim Chalukim Elamata. So too, the Gagot, the roofs will be considered distinct above. So Hani Milelein in Shabbos, that they're considered two Rishiyot, that's the Gabi Shabbos. Well, in the get, shum kpedahu. What's the problem with get? Get is not an issue of ownership in the sense of, right, reshus ha-yachid and reshus ha-rabin, but it's a sense of, is a person makpid if you, the, of you, you makpid if you use such a space. So we had this principle before, we had this on Shabbos, and that, for instance, kariyamita, right, the woman's bed was found in the husband's house, and we said it's above 10 tefachim, so it's a separate reshus. The Gemara says, what about the legs? They're sitting in the husband's house. So the Gemara says, no problem. Why? Because they don't makpid, it's not makpid on his wife's bed being in the property, his property. So it's about a chodah, it's not about it being a distinct reshus, where, you know, necessarily, but about her
clothes.
Right, that was the other option, right? Very good show. The second one was the basket business, or when it comes to her very personal property, the husband's not makbid. So all these areas we see in get that the din is about her clothes, that whether someone's going to be makbid to exert their property rights and say you cannot have that. So we're here too, by a roof, right? It's mishum kpeda, but they have no kapli in shit. People don't care when it comes to a shumish kapli roof, everybody, it's basically a joint ownership of everybody usage. In terms of usage, nobody cares if you walk on the other side of the roof, this side of the roof. That wasn't something where people exerted ownership and said, you know, don't have it. Therefore, if he throws the get up onto a roof, and she has one half of the roof, and the other half of the roof is either his or someone else's, we don't say that kapli in shit, and therefore she will acquire the get, even though it's on the other side of the roof, despite the fact that in Shabbat, it, that would already be considered a distinct reshus, and you'd have to have an eruv to join those two reshuyot. Alright, Amar Abaye, Shtei Chatzerot, Zu Lifnim Zu. So you have two courtyards, one inside of the other. Pnimi Shela, the inner courtyard is hers, Mechitzana Shelo, and the outer courtyard belongs to him. Umitzot, Mechitzot HaChitzonot, or default al Pnimiot, and the inner, or the outer walls, right, are higher than the inner walls. Vizarkula, and he throws dirt. Kimishi Gila, here Mechitzot HaChitzonot. Since it reaches into the airspace of the outer walls, right, Harizumi Gureshit, she is divorced. So I mentioned, here, like a cup like this, you have this nice coffee cup here. So you have a chatzer that is within, and then there's outer chatzer. So the walls of the outer chatzer also guard the inner chatzer. I mean, they do protect the inner chatzer. So once the get cuts over the outer walls, even then it's going to fall into the inner chatzer, but once it's within the airspace of the outer walls, it's already considered mishta meret. Even though the outer walls don't belong to her, it's considered mishta meret because the outer walls afford a certain amount of protection to the inner chatzer. So that's what we're going to see in the Gemara now, right? Amar by Shechas, which is the Pnimizu, Pnimit Shalav, Kitzanot Shalav, Mechitzot, Kitzanot, Otfot, Pniot, Zarklot, Kevin Shegil, Avir, Mechitzot, Kitzanot, since it reads the airspace of the outer walls, Harizumi Gureshit, she's divorced, my time up, Pnimit Gufa, Mechitzot, Kitzanot, Kamintra, the inner chatzer benefits or is guarded by the outer chatzer's walls. Masha'in came, the Gemara says this is not true, but kupot, when it comes to two baskets. Shtei kupot zu, you have two baskets, one inside the other. Pnimi shela, the inner basket is hers, the chitzona shelo, and the outer basket is his. Vizarkula, and then he throws her the get. Right, afilu gila vir pnimit, ina migreshet, even if it reaches the inner basket, the walls of the inner basket, she's not divorced. My time of the halona, because it never landed. Where it says, "Bechinach my hobby." Even if it lands, what benefit is it? Why is it? What? Okay, so it lands. What does that do for you? Then you have a case of, so we've raised a number of times, Kelab Shalokiach Bishut Mocher. The woman's basket, her utensil, sitting in the property of the husband, which is the outer basket. So why does that help you? And that, then you have that question that we have in all other instances when you Kelab Shalokiach Bishut Mocher is a question. So when I say Zachar Maiskinon, the Kupa, same as you lying. We're talking about a basket that has no bottom to it, has no base, no bottom to it. So what does that do for you? So let's see Rashi. Right, so Rashi says that when it comes to, if you look in the Rashi, b'chitzot ha-chitzanot ha-mintro, with the outer walls, it's guarded. So Rashi over there says, regila lihishtamer, hilkach mishubadot heinla v'kanula, that the outer walls are actually mishubotla, because of their higher elevation, those walls are clearly helping the inner courtyard, and therefore they have, it seems from Rashi, that she has even almost right of refusal, right, or right of ownership to the outer walls being higher, and if the outer person wants to change those walls, she might actually have a right of refusal to object to that changing, because the assumption is when those walls are put up that they impact the inner courtyard. And since they impact the corner of your courtyard, when someone owns or buys that inner courtyard, they're buying it with the assumption of the outer walls being that high, that the protection afforded by these outer walls belongs to them. And therefore, when it comes into the airspace of the outer walls, that's already considered to be protected and good enough. Now, with the kli, the hollow knot, the emichitza, this Rashi is an interesting shadi, emichitza kli asrin li abhiran. The walls of the kli are not made for their airspace, lishmor. The kli asrin li lahaniach bitocho. An utensil is not made, and as opposed to a chutzer, where the walls of the chutzer are made to ensure that the airspace is secure. Not just that the inner chutzer is secure, but even the airspace is secure. That is not true of a kli. The utensil, the walls are made so that stuff, items can be placed into it. But not that the airspace should be considered mishtamer. It's just that they have walls in order that things can be placed there that won't fall out of the sides. So Rashi says that walls in a kli are very distinct from walls in a chutzer. And that's the difference over here. So again, when you had it, again, so now how does the Gemara answer the question? The Gemara says there's no floor. If there's no floor, then the inner kli is sitting on the ground, and therefore her kli is not sitting in the husband's kli, and she's sitting in her either in her sister, or sitting in her own ownership, and therefore if it falls into the inner kli, if it was placed into the inner kli, it would be a good get. But if it just flies into the inner kli, and it's in the airspace of the inner kli, that doesn't help you, because the airspace, according to Rashi, is not defined to be lishmor. It's only for placement, and not for Shmira. So now Tosfos goes,
is that only for situation like boxes as opposed to real estate like the courtyard?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. That's the distinction here between Kalim versus Arex, or courtyard or Chutzer. So now Tosfos argues on Rashi, of course, here. Rashi has two basic assumptions. The first basic assumption is what we pointed out here is that it's mishubadatla. The outer walls are mishubad to her. That's number one assumption. And Tosfos says the number two assumption is that kelim are not made lishmor. Right? They're abiran, they cannot work. So Tosfos is going to challenge both of those assumptions. Right? If you look in the Tosfos, pnimi, tikufam, lechitzon, lechitzon, mintera. Look at that. Mashapirish, bekuntris. The Rashi explains, mechitzon, lechitzonot, mishubadot, pnimiot. Lav dakka, mishubadot. Can't make a statement that they're mishubad. What type of real ownership or right control can she exert over that? That's not true. So he says, because if that's the case, Makli bin Chetzrod Kupot, Lifnog bin Chetzrod Kufayu, bin Mishubadot, Lashenu Mishubadot. Says, if you want to do that, why did the Gemara distinguish between, like the value says, between a Chetzer and a Kli? Let it distinguish between different types of Chetzerot, depending on what her control or who Shibud is of those outer walls. At the time, what's the reason? Because it's also, Kim Mishubadot, the Chetzanot Kivuot are in place. The Atzidot is Sheersham, and they are not going to be moved, the inner courtyard gets the benefit of those outer walls without, you know, the underlying assumption is that the inner courtyard will always benefit from these walls, so we don't assume that these walls are going to move. Right, that they divide between the chitzana and the pnimi. So you see that, well, that Tosfos doesn't believe there's a shibud here, that the woman has no rights here, not a refusal, it's just a mitzius. It's the mitzvahs. If you own an inner courtyard and someone owns an outer courtyard and their walls are high, you are going to naturally benefit from those walls, and the underlying assumption is that those walls are not going to move. Now, not that you have right of refusal or right to control that, but rather, that's just that's the state of being. Alright, now, number two is the hollow knock. So Rashi, that Tosfos says over here, the hollow knock that didn't land, the Pirish Bekundris, he brings down the Rashi, the Aim Chizot Kli Asuyot El Aniyach Betochan. They only make the walls a place in them. Mashmo, the Pirishot of your Kli and Okone. That the airspace of a Kli cannot be Kone, the Aim Nira. He rejects this because we have other cases in Avodah Zarah, other places where we see the Kelim are Kone. Skip down one line. El Nira, what does Tosfos believe? Daki Pirishot. What does he mean, the Pirishot? Because what? The outer walls of the outer hutzer are there, and they're always going to be there. Can you say the same of a kli? Right? If your basket's sitting inside the other basket, that's not going to be the permanent state. That's not always going to be the state of being of the inner kli to be in the outer kli walls. Right? And therefore, right, when it reaches into the cloud, right, of the outer walls of the outer kli, that is not, right, enough. That doesn't do anything for you, right, even when it's in the airspace of the inner complete, it doesn't do anything for you because the outer walls can't help you. That's what Rav Tosafot says. That you're in the airspace of the inner kli, but still above its walls. So that won't work. According to Tosafos, that once it reaches into the inner kupai, it would work, as opposed to Rashi. Right? So that's two distinct points between Rashi and Tosafos. Rashi believes the outer walls by the chatzar mishubadot. Tosafos says no. It's just a state of being, and their state of being, which is not going to change, according to protection, that's enough. The kupot, Rashi argues that a kupa is never made to acquire in its airspace. Tosafos says that's not true. We see in other places that that is not the case. So what it says that that's the difference. The way I defined it by Chatzeirot, which is that it's always there, that's not true by Kupot, because the outer Kupah is going to move. So you can't say that the inner Kupah can benefit from the walls of the outer Kupah, because that's not a state of being that will always be there. That's something that can change. And therefore, you can't view the inner Kupah taking advantage of the walls of the outer Kupah. Okay, next mission. Get Yashan. First, you can use an old get. What's an old get? A get that is dated prior to the giving of the get, and between the time that the get is dated and it was given, right, they had yichud. Beitel Osirin, the hill says no good. They should get yashan. What is it? Yashan posting its chayei ma'amiyachashatulah. That after the get was written or dated, they had yichud. They might commit to the get. What's the argument? Beitel Osirin, reading zera shem yom lukitak vadum livna. What's the possibility here? He writes a get. 3 years later, he gives her the get. In between, they have two children, right? And then all of a sudden, people are going to look back. They're not going to know what happened, and they're going to say, "Oh my gosh, they were born out of wedlock. These kids were born out of wedlock." Now, it's true they're not from Zayrim. Rashi says, "Habi pigam." Children born out of wedlock is still a pigam. It's not considered the best yichus to be born out of wedlock, and therefore, you know, we don't want to have cast aspersions on a woman's children. And therefore, the Beis Hillel says, "Not a good get if it is this way." We have this in Zayrim. So, the Beis Hillel says, "No." Beis Hillel, sorry, I'm reading Zayrim. Shema Yomru Ki Tak Kodem Livna. Right, like Zayrim said, maybe we worry about this situation that the get is prior to her children. I'm Rabbi Abraham Shmuel Nisayt Lotetzay. Even according to Beit Hillel, if she gets married with such a get, she does not have to divorce the second individual. But if he used such a get, that is the other possibility in Rabbi Abraham, that she can marry the Chatzilah. She doesn't, not if she married, we don't make her divorce. But even if she got such a get, that get is valid enough that she can marry with such a get. Right now, Tosus points out, I think it's a nice shot here, that Machlokas Beishamai Yisrael, why is one allowed to divorce his wife? Right, the Kaman, right? So that's, Beishamai says that this is connects to our Machlokas here. What Beishamai says, you're only allowed to divorce a woman if Matzah Bat or Bat Davar. Only if there's an Ed Bat Davar here. Beis Hillel says you can only divorce a woman, you can divorce a woman for any reason. If you burnt your, soup, you can divorce a woman. I mean, there has to be no reason. If it's just not working out, then you can get divorced. So according to Beishamai, when's the only time you can have a divorce? Right, when there's an Erevat Davar. If it's an Erevat Davar, that means that something really bad happened, right? There was some illicit relation, something that went wrong. Then there's no real chance that there's going to be yichud afterwards, because Nimasala, he's disgusted by her. There's something already that is not going to, they're not going to reconcile in this case. So therefore, Beit Shammai says that when they divorce, we don't worry about get yashan, because the likelihood, even if he gives a get after the date, that they were miyake, is very low. Beis Hillel says, no. Beis Hillel says you can get divorced for any reason, right? And there's a possibility of reconciliation. So the possibility of reconciliation, then what? He's going to have to get dated early, not give the debt. Then they'll be yachmei have yukon, and they'll divorce her later on. So there's a possibility of having this get yashan. Yerushalmi connects the two makhlokot of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Just a nice thought. Our Gemara doesn't do this, but Tosafos brings Yerushalmi that does. Right, the next Mishnah actually continues all the way through into the halfway through the next Amud. So what my suggestion is that we start this Mishnah tomorrow, because the Gemara will rely on this Mishnah.